Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are getting stuck into our rankings. We've had our top 30s in Dream Team and Supercoach, but now we are into the positions, and we're kicking it off with our ruck ranking show, as we normally do. And as always, to help us out, Stevie Fizz, how you doing, pal?
I just want to say, look, John, I'm doing great. Hope the listeners and the draft community are doing well. And just we tweeted out last week the first screen grab of the mock draft site we've got coming, and I'm excited, and it seems like the community is very excited, and I just want to throw a bit of love at the draft community, because look, it's been our baby for a couple of years, Jono. We've had this in the works, but we understand we're getting a little bit bigger in engagement, and just want to say thanks for all the people who have jumped on board. But I'm bringing a Stremple. Bringing a Stremple for two weeks in a row into the new year, and I'm strempling Mrs. Fizz.
Ooh, interesting.
That's right. I've started with the big dogs. I've strempled the Statesman. I'm strempling Mrs. Fizz, and it's, look, hashtag first world problems, boys. But when you don't get the present you ask for,
I have been informed of this story. Please do tell it.
My last birthday, the big one, number 37, what did I want? Can't remember what I wanted.
Baseball shirt, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I want. I wanted sunglasses. I wanted a new pair of sunglasses. And instead, I woke up to a new coffee maker. That wasn't what I wanted. And then for Christmas, I wanted a T-shirt, a Batuta Advocate T-shirt. I love the Batuta Advocate, the parody website, basically Australia's Onion. If you're not on them, get on them. Very funny stuff. Instead, I got tickets to the Book of Mormon. Now, I understand first world problems, but this is why I need to move to Tasmania, the cultural wasteland that doesn't get any big production out of Ireland's third best AC/DC cover band, because the Book of Mormon doesn't come to Tasmania. The Book of Mormon's terrible. Unwatchable, and I missed out on a four.
You're a big Matt. You're a South Park fan as well.
Huge fan. I did actually think it was the worst thing when I got it, but it was just unwatchable crap. I could have left after 20 minutes, and I would have been quite happy. And instead, all I wanted was a $40 shirt, and we wasted $300 on this. Oh, Mrs. Fizz wasted all this money on what could only be described as turd on stage.
Because I know you, Steve, you're a creature of habit. You don't like to cross the threshold that is Boundary Road of Moorabbin.
Boundary Road, it's the threshold we've described. We've talked about this before.
It's about a 30K radius Steve doesn't like to leave. So,
but you're in the same radius.
I'm the same radius. My work is within that boundary, so I'm not going any further. But no, I totally get it. You don't want to leave your creature's habit. It's like me for Christmas. I wanted specific items. I got them. I was happy.
Well, why even ask me? If you're not going to get me what I asked, why ask?
I mean, it's a big tangent from sunglasses to coffee maker and tickets and T-shirt. Big
That's
tangent.
Just I thought you'd like it. What a load of crap. Don't think. And thinking hurts.
That is, just do. And welcome to you, Statesman. It looks nice and sunny down there in Tassie this afternoon. How are you?
I'm very, very well, gentlemen, but I have a Stremple as well. I'm Strempling technology. Now, as you both know, I've recently moved and I've been doing some renos. Now, the old area that I used to live has a recycling area and the normal tip where you rock up with all your stuff, you give them a little bit of cash, the old tenner, and then you get rid of your stuff. Well, the new fandangled city that area that I'm at has this little weighing area. So the way you're going in and the way you're going out and everything that you drop off, you effectively pay for the lot. So would you believe it, my first load was more than four loads of the previous area I was in. So it's fair to say the rest of my trips to the tip have been driving a lot further to the old place to ensure that technology wasn't going to smack me for an extra $80 per visit to the tip.
Ooh.
So there's my strempling.
Haven't you heard of council hard rubbish? You put all your stuff on the lawn and twice a year, council comes along, here, picks it up. That's what you do when you're moving to a new place.
With flooring and walls and kitchens, mate.
Well, surely there's new housing estates going up at the cover of darkness. Find the bins there and dump them in there as well.
No, unfortunately, mate.
No?
John, I've actually...
too far to the next chateau, is it?
I think the last time we increased in population was 1956.
I've just gotten written down on my sheet when I was hearing Statesman's story, hashtag hard rubbish. And just for the list, we know we've got a lot of new listeners. Just if you don't know what a strempling is, it's when you go Robert Wall's coaching style and you grab someone who's done something wrong, you throw them in the circle of your players and give the players the boxing gloves and let them have a few rounds with the offender. Just give them a bit of a box around the ears. But all I can ascertain from Statesman's strempling, Jono, is that Statesman likes to drop his loads far and wide.
And as long as there is no sink or anything in the bathroom, he'd be happy.
My goodness.
A bit of news coming out as well this week. It turns out that our probably close to number one defender, Elliot Yeo, this year is struggling with a hip injury. And Johnny Worsfold said that they...
Worsfold?
Simpson, yeah, the old coach of West Coast. Yeah. I'm on,
just having a dig
him on holidays.
His old staff members, yeah.
That's it. But Adam Simpson has come out and said it's a week-to-week proposition, but probably be monitored over the JLT, but should be right for round one. But did you hear Mark Thompson's house got raided by police the other day as well? So waiting on the story to break on that one, whether it was drugs, which most people allude to, but... we'll see what happens with that one. And hopefully Mark Thompson's all right. Because he did say that whole drug saga broke him and it broke down his marriage and everything. So interesting, that one with Mark Thompson.
I did read that today's that now is currently the best time to be single. So, I mean, how sad can you feel for someone's marriage breaking down? Scientists.
That was a couple of years.
This is science. Yeah. Science.
Science.
Be single. Mrs. Fierce, get out of here, you and your lousy gifts.
But we are talking, today we are talking our ruck rankings, and if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we're at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. We've got a lot of new listeners, so do chuck us, send us through your questions if you do have any. We do have a website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We do have articles dropping on there, and the Facebook and Instagram as well. Just search The Draft Doctors there. But ruck rankings, boys. Statesman, you're doing the Dream Team rankings. Fire away of your first eight for us, please.
Yes, mate, and I must admit, this was a fairly big task. Up the top and also down the bottom end, certainly have some concerns when it comes right down to the end if we cover in 15. But quickly going through the top eights, and I'll explain why they're there. Brody Grundy, as we talked about with my top 30, is the number one for ruck. 106 average, 24 years of age. Last 3 years, he's averaged 91, 101 and 106. Averages 20 games per season in that time. And these are the best figures for the Dream Team ruckman, even with the Mason Cox impact. So he's clearly got to be number one. Only 24 years of age, he's still getting to the prime of his career. Number two, I've got Max Scorn. 26 years of age, could be, Slant should be the number one ruck, although drops to number two due to only having one full season in his career. So there is injury concerns with Maxie. They've followed him all the way through, but we know what his potential is. And apparently he's very fit at the moment, having a good pre-season. Sam Jacobs hits number three, 30 years of age. He makes the top three because you know what you get. So if you're drafting him, you'll just know, there's my ruckman, he's squared away, he's going to do the job, he's going to give me an average within the 90s. Could be under Cruiser, Martin, Nick Nat, but you know what you get with limited risk. He just keeps on doing it year in, year out, and is in the prime of his career. Matthew Cruiser at number four, 29 years old, 2 years of full seasons of football, gents. So he's actually starting to string it together. 1 year of producing what we always expected for him. Always the number one, was the number one scorer overall last year, but many years of injury and role issues keep him out of the top three. Just feel safer with those other three. Number five, I've got Steph Martin, 31 years of age. Now, three seasons ago since he was the leading scorer in the ruck position. Role concerns will remain as he will not be the ruckman for their next premiership. So I can't see him always being a high priority for the Brisbane crew being the number one ruck. But if he does get that role and he plays a sole ruck for the year, he could be the highest scorer. Patrick Ryder, number six, 30 years of age, only played more than 20 games and averaged over 90 once in his career. Much more of a super coach player than he is a dream team, although it could be a banner year for him this year.
Yeah, I just want to throw out one thing with Ryder is that last year was really the first year he's had on his own. He's always been in a tandem with Bell Chambers, so I think when like
John Loeb, when he got to Port Adelaide as well,
we didn't play.
There was a little bit they did, but that, which affected his scores.
So what I'm saying is, like, Ryder's kind of a misnomer. Like, when we look at his previous averages, it's like I was looking at Tom Bell Chambers and where to rank him. But he's never been the sole ruck aside from last year, and even then it was kind of a strange situation. So I kind of take those previous averages with a grain of salt.
Yeah, but this year he wasn't for Dream Team. He wasn't in the top four scorers anyway.
No, but he was fine. He was just fine.
And yeah, oh, no, absolutely. Yeah. But he's more of a super coach player than he is a Dream Team player.
Absolutely.
Just to round out seven and eight, number seven, Jared Witts. 25 years of age, 18 games and an average of 92, which actually made him the fifth highest scorer in 2017. Showed he is the number one at the Gold Coast, although he will, the question mark is, will Stuart Dew have an impact? Obviously, he has a history with both Hawthorn and Sydney, who both played the two ruck model. So will he follow suit in his coaching role? But at the moment, I see their structure with Peter Wright being the actual forward who gives him the ruckman a bit of a break. So if Jared Witts is playing that number one role, quite happy for him to be in the top seven. And number eight, gentlemen, Toby Nankervis, 23 years of age, 21 games this year at an average of 86.9, which included a five-game run as a forward. Giving him a break as it was his first full season. So pretty comfortable with him as he builds his tank and being the tank to actually get over that 90 average. So pretty secure for him being in the top eight as well.
Yeah, it's pretty similar rankings to mine for the Dream Team, except I had Goldie in there at number seven for me. So your thoughts on Goldie at all? You think he's just falling right off the cliff with Bruce in that team?
No, I've got him coming reasonably soon. I certainly feel that Goldie's got some potential, and I don't think he was actually that bad this year, and I'll go through the stats when I speak about him. But I'm reasonably comfortable that Goldie, if given the role, that he'll play well. The question mark is really what's going to happen at that club. They've got three ruckmen.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Just thought I'd ask, that's all. Your thoughts, Steve?
I mean, it's hard to be dissimilar when we're talking about the ruck, I think. You kind of know what you're going to get. I've got Cruiser actually as my number one. I know you had him as your number four. I think with a clean run, he's such that around the ground presence. Carlton are going to need him, and he's just going to continue to rack up possessions. And he's so mobile that the tackles are always there. Jacobs, I had it. What did you have him? Number three. I had him number four. I had him number five. I just don't see the ceiling. Grundy, I had as my number two. I'm with you there. Even when Cox was in, he was still a top 10 ruckman every single week except for one. I mean, that's pretty fantastic. Gawn, I've got at number four, which is probably a little bit lower. I don't see the possessions being there this year. And Steph, I've got at number three. I'm a big Steph Martin fan. Any man who can deadlift a small country, I'm on board with. And yeah, again, like Jono, I had Goldie in at number eight. So I think we're on the same ballpark with basically everyone. It didn't seem like we're too far apart. We're one and two spots apart. But, I mean, would you guys say that? I know last year we sort of saw so much value late in the rucks. This year it seems like it might be a mid-round strategy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's shaping that way. I mean, moving on to the Supercoach in a minute, but there's probably more of those big time scorers there, whereas the Dream Team formatting in the rucks, scoring in the rucks, it's much tighter, where you might get, say, Grundy and Gawn go over that 100-105, where the rest of that 95-100 bracket, where Supercoach, you can probably get maybe two or three go that 110 even, in the because of the scoring format, obviously.
Well, I think with the Supercoach, it obviously lends itself to a couple of the more hit out friendly contested style players. But with the so obviously there's a deeper pool, but with the Dream Team, I think, you know, if you got Ryder, Witts or Nank, you know, in the, you know, rounds between rounds 8 and 12, I mean, I think you're doing, I mean, you're not going to be unhappy.
Certainly not. And if you are liking the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button there, and the show will get to your device each and every week without you having to do a thing. And if you've got a couple of minutes, please do hit the 5-star rating on iTunes and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It gets our brand out there, especially with the mock draft website we've got dropping very soon. We've also got some merch as well. Steve's got some T-shirts as well. So very exciting times here in the Draft Doctors, and everything helps. But moving on to the Supercoach.
Do you want to do the
bottom
of Statesman's rankings?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Very professional outfit here. Very professional.
Oh, I'm on holidays. My days are just completely stuffed at the moment.
Look, people, you can't see it, but Jono's in a singlet, and I don't want to say...
I haven't had a shower today.
I don't want to say the word celery sticks, but that's what I'm looking at coming out the end of his tank top there. It's noodle arm central. It's basically do you remember Cale Morton?
Yep.
You're like an uglier version of Cale Morton, but your arms
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Well, they are peeling as 21 degree day. Sunburnt like a lobster.
Unbelievable. I'll move on to the second half, gentlemen. So at number nine, I've got Nick Natanui, 28 years of age, returning from the knee reconstruction, as we all know. But he should fare from that pretty well, because he's actually had an 18-month recovery phase. So there was talk about him playing at the end of last year. So he's had the added 6 months through his recovery. So he should be pretty confident in that knee on his return. He is more of a super coach player, and just a point of that is that he has never averaged over 90 in Dream Team. Number 10, I have Todd Goldstein, 31 years of age. Although we may think he had a bit of a downer last year, it's a downer compared to what we expect from Todd Goldstein. He still played 19 games and had an average of 86.6, so actually fared pretty well. For those that actually had him, making him the 10th highest ruck scorer of last year. So it wasn't the worst by any stretch of the imagination. So the question mark is what North's ruck setup will be. If he was clearly number one, then it would be in the top five ruckmen quite easily. So it would be good to see what happens for the North structure. I'm backing Todd Goldstein at the moment because he is the best ruckman for him. Number 11 is Ben McAvoy, 29 years of age. He was actually the 5th highest scorer last year with 22 games and an average of 91. But as the Hawks have a two ruck model and John Segler is back from his knee, it spells down for his scoring. So unfortunately, it doesn't look like 2018 will be the year of the big boy. But very impressive for a late pickup last year. Number 12 is Zach Smith, 28 years of age. Clearly the right choice for Geelong's number one, and played that way in the second half of the year. Averaged 84 for the year, but averaged well over 90 in the second half of the season when he squared away that role. So he should be that all the way through. Number 13, I've gone young, Sean Darcy, 20 years of age. I'm just lost the confidence of Sam Land's been able to put together a season, and clearly this man's the actual heir apparent. So I dare say they're going to get some game time into him, and then some stage Sandy will go down, and Ubutis, he'll be the number one ruckman. Average 83 in his first year, very promising, but of course it's all about the Sandy impact. Number 14, Billy Longa, 25 years of age, average of 78. The reason why Darcy's ahead of him is that Billy Longa averages less and has the same problem. Tom Hickey might be the number one ruckman at the start of the year for the Saints. You just don't know. Certainly a bit of a concern of who's going to be the ruckman, or whether they actually have two of them at St Kilda. So that's a bit of a concern.
Just on the Billy Longa ruck there, had some of my spies out and about on New Year's Eve. They were going past the Seaford training track there in the afternoon, and there was one lone figure just doing laps and a couple of drills, and that was one Billy Longa. So he was out there New Year's Eve doing laps and a couple of training drills, so maybe trying to get that one and a half kicks a game average up for the 2018 season. definitely one to watch there.
Absolutely. Number 15, so rounding out the top 15, I will point out Rory Lobb, as he hasn't got the ruck status at the moment. I haven't put him within that model, but he would be clearly in the top 10 for me if he was allocated as a ruck. Also, I haven't got a Bulldogs player. Just don't know who's going to play the role week to week. And, of course, I couldn't fit in any Sydney Swans because they just share the role and share it way too much for my liking. I've got no confidence of who's going to be playing the role and how much they're going to score. And I think the highest scoring ruckman or person that went through the ruck at Sydney was below 70 last year. So that just leaves the one club, and that's Essendon. And then I flip the coin. Is it Tommy? Is it Matty? It's Tom Bell Chambers, 29 years of age, unsure how Essendon will manage their rucks, but with an average of 84 from his 13 games this year, looks like the best scorer in the Bombers lineup. So hopefully that's the crew that they back in is Tom Bell Chambers. So that's my 15, boys.
Yeah, pretty much exactly the same. I didn't have Sean Darcy in there. I think Sandy still is the number one ruckman, but you might see him play in tandem, or Sandy doesn't make the big trips these now, even though they do have to travel every second week. But you might see Darcy fill in for a couple of weeks there, which probably will affect his average. I had Tom Bell Chambers in there, where you had Sean Darcy. That was generally, everything else was pretty much spot on.
Yeah, Tom Bell Chambers in there.
Yep.
Yeah, the only one I had in, I have Sandy in there. 12? Sandy in there at 12.
Sorry, I had Sandy at 14.
Yeah, in there at 12 instead of Sean Darcy. I'm pretty certain they're going to be splitting time. And I think the big man's going to be resting forward. We've seen him do that in the past. And word out of Dockers camp is that's where he's been spending a bit of time at the training track. So I think all the rankings are kind of one or two spots apart. I will say the only thing I don't want is I've got Nick Nat at 11. You've got him at 9. That Nankervis, he's the last guy I'm comfortable having as my ruck. Like, I'm not comfortable with... I've got Goldie in my top set, but Nank would be the... That's the cutoff. I don't want Nick Nat. I don't want McAvoy. I mean, if I'm in that state, I better have a stacked rest of my team.
Which sadly may mean a rush on rucks, even though they're not worth it. It's getting to the point, if you're saying, well, eight's the cutoff.
I will say I'm a little bit more comfortable on McAvoy, because I think that the Hawks have developed enough tools. Like, if you look at their team, like Gunston will be back forward, Roughhead's forward, Sicily will probably be back. Can Burton be a swingman? They have Frawley back. They have Stratton back. Like, you can't go... To me, if you go too tall, you're going to be cut out of today's game. Like, I don't think it makes sense to play Segler.
Yeah, it'd be interesting one. See how we go in the season. I do have a little bit of a liking for Zach Smith as well. As Statesman said, he averaged quite well in the back end of the season, especially in the Supercoach, which I'll get to a little bit later. But I'm pretty comfortable having Zach Smith there. The only thing is when they play Reece Stanley and gives him the chop out, he did have an affected score there in the last five games as well. But if he's averaging 90 in the Dream Team format, I'd be pretty comfortable with that, because you will get him pretty late.
Oh, look, if you're in a 14-team or 16-team league, like, and Reece Stanley's your... Oh, sorry, Zach Smith's your ruckman, like, you know, it's not the end of the world, is it? You've obviously spent a very late round pick on him.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving on to the Supercoach side of things, going to kick it off with their top eight, starting off with Paddy Ryder as my number one ruckman for the year. He's got no competition at Port Adelaide for a ruck position. Jack Watts is probably going to chop him out when he does rest forward or on the bench. And as the sole ruckman shows, he can go over 100. We did see that when he was at Essendon. It was about for a season as well. He was the sole ruckman there and can go 100. He's not going to be off the ground too much, and going to help Port onto going deep into the finals, you would think. Nick Nat's my number two ruckman. He is absolutely built for Supercoach scoring. He only needs about 12 possessions and gets about 30-odd hit-outs. He's got that high leap where you get points for hit-outs to advantage in Supercoach. So that really helps him there as well, and plays as that extra midfielder in that team. My only concern for him not being the number one is, will they manage him? But as Statesman said, there's 18 months off, so I don't think they will with that. Number three, Max Gawn is my number three ruckman. Again, he's got Cam Peterson chopping him out if he does get a game. Injuries are a concern.
Whoa. Melbourne's best key forward's not getting in a game.
Jesse Hogan.
Let's just back it up, people. All right? Say things we can't take back.
He does have that massive ceiling for Supercoach, as well as those hit-outs to advantage, which help in Supercoach formatting. And he does go forward and kicks goals as well. Big Maxi Gawn. Number four is Saucy Jacobs. As Statesman, he just gets the job done. He's around that 100 average mark. He gets possessions, he gets the hit-outs, and the tackles, the free kicks and everything. Just a consistent scorer, so don't mind him having him in my team. I got Todd Goldstein at number five. Fell away from form a little bit in 2017, whether he's carrying an injury, off-field issues. There was all rumours about that. We don't know. But he's super consistent, always in the top couple for hit-outs for the years. Gets around the ground for possessions and does kick goals as well. I think he's going to bounce back and will be in your top five, or even top three, ruckman for the end of 2018. Number six, I've got Matty Cruiser. I thought about dropping him even further, but when he's got no competition there, I mean, Matthew Lobb's only there as a backup, but a career year in your 10th year, slight cause for concern, but he has played 2 years now injury-free. So if you can get him, he's also got that ceiling, gets around the ground, kicks goals as well. Brody Grundy in at number seven. That Mason Cox thing is a whole heap of bullcrap, in my opinion. He gets the hit-outs. A few more possessions for him as well. Would be good for Grundy and maybe snag a few goals to get that increase that average up around the 99, 100 mark. But I think that fifth or sixth season this year, so that's just the natural progression for Ruckman there. Number eight for me is Steph Martin. Just solid as a rock in Supercoach the last couple of years. 33 years of age. He will be there with Archie Smith, but I don't think Archie Smith's going to take too much time away from him. He's had a couple of injuries that weren't his fault, in those concussions and whatnot, so he'll be right for the 2018 season. He's my top eight ruckman.
Yeah, I don't have too many problems, actually, Jono. We've got the same eight players in there. It's just a little bit of a shuffle. I've got Gawn as my number one. I think we've seen the outlier year from Max Gawn, but I think he can do it again. He's obviously got the hit out to advantage situation going for him. Very good inside midfield brigade, so he can get those points. I'm with you on Nick Nat as my number two, but Ryder, I understand why you've got Ryder as the number one. I don't have a problem with it, but it's a bit rich for my blood. Goldie, I've got a little bit lower down just with the increased Supercoach ruck depth. Grundy, I've got lower by a spot at eight. Steph, I've got a little bit higher at six. And Cruiser, I've got a little bit higher at four. I just think with the injury, it seems like he's past his injuries. It just seems like that. And he seems like a very safe option, for me.
Where did you say you had Sauce?
Sauce, I got him at five. He's five. Four or five. You got him at four, I got him at five. I don't have a problem with any of that. Like, Supercoach, I'm pretty happy to bat a little bit deeper. I think I've got, where do you have Grundy?
Seven.
So I got him at eight. Like, I'm pretty happy to bat 10 deep in Supercoach, even 11 deep in Supercoach rack rankings.
Yep.
Quite frankly, I'm pretty happy to go very late. As opposed to the Dream Team model.
Yeah, and mine, gentlemen. The only thing I would have differently is Max Gawn, I think, is clearly the number one ruck in the Supercoach model. I think he's ahead of Ryder and Nick Nat. Obviously, on the Dream Team side of things, Grundy just doesn't translate into Supercoach scores. He's one of the very few ruckmen that average about 10 points below in Supercoach than he does in his Dream Team model, which I still don't exactly understand, but that's a bit more of him playing more of a ruck rover than a ruckman.
Yeah, and that's why he scores exactly the same as Steph Martin. You brought up 3 years ago Steph Martin. Steph Martin was actually the highest scoring player in the game, not only the highest scoring ruckman, the highest scoring player. It's because when the ruckman average, I think it was less than 30-something percent of their score build from hit-outs, they need to do it in other ways. And that's why I kind of like Toby Nankervis, because he actually fits that Brody Grundy, Steph Martin role score build, where he's actually very capable of winning the ball around the ground, building his score through tackles and marks and possessions, because he's not going to be a top-five hit-out player ever. That's not going to be Toby Nankervis. So he needs to be effective in other ways. And he's shown he can do that. And we're remembering, this is only a guy who's played 40 games. So, like, what he did was quite unbelievable last year. I think it kind of flies under the radar. And the fact that he's losing forward status is going to be fantastic for late drafters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just on Nankervis, he spent 83% time on ground this year compared to the majority of the other ruckmen, which was around the 88-90% time on ground. So that extra 7% can help build your score too there as well.
Yeah, well, you're looking at someone who can grow and can get better. And if you're getting him in the 15th round, like, my goodness, what a fantastic situation that is for late round ruck drafters.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Nank, he comes in at number nine for me. As we just said, he's only had one full year in the AFL system. He does go forward and kick goals. He gets around the ground with marks, tackles, possessions, everything else. I think another year in the system to build that tank will improve his score. Number 10 for me is Jared Witts. Very sort of out of the picture playing up in Gold Coast, underrated ruckman. Average 95 in Supercoach this year. I think that's about where his mark is going to be. He doesn't get those hit-outs to advantage like the other ruckman, but he does get around the ground, and I just don't think Gold Coast are going to be getting enough ball for him to get even better. And number 11 for me is Tommy Bell Chambers. If he is going to be the sole ruck, he averaged 95 there in 2017, and his last two games were 150 and 128 in Supercoach.
Yeah, have you seen the opposition he was against?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I'll vet that because I remember it was horrendous, and that's why I kept him low. I'll just vet that very quickly. That was, yep. It was telling. I'll put it that way. I think it was
the Western Bulldogs.
I'm pretty sure it was like who was Keegan Brooksby and
Gold Coast and someone else.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
I saw that one. I really like Tommy Bell Chambers as a late round ruck, and I'm like, God damn, that's. And then I was like, oh no, wait, that's why I shouldn't ever like Tom Bell Chambers as a late round ruck.
Yeah, okay, so I've fallen into the trap. Chambers will pull you into.
It's Keegan Brooksby. You love this. It's Keegan Brooksby and John O'Griffin.
Oh God. I might slide him a couple of places then. Number 12 for me is Aaron Sanderlands. Before the last couple of years where injuries caught up with him, he's averaging hundreds. Even before he went down with the injury, he was averaging hundreds. So he's still going to be a dominant force up until he gets turf toe or bitten by a mozzie and gets Ross River fever or something. I don't know. But he's still going to be a quality pick in Supercoach because he is so tall and gets those hit outs to advantage. And all things are... what Steve said, he's kicking going forward, then adding goals to his scoring build is still pretty good. What was that? 13 is Zach Smith. I actually had him. I picked him off as a 1 week use in Supercoach, but he's actually sole rucking in his last five games. In those last five games in Supercoach, he averaged 107. With one of those games, he only scored an 80, and that's because they had Reece Stanley in the game to help him out. So if he can average around that 105 mark as a sole ruck, he's never done it before, but and if he doubles his hit-outs, he didn't have quite as many hit-outs as this year as the other ruckman, but if he can, he's quite capable of doing that, then he could be a smoky to go up the ruck rankings, but highly unlikely because Geelong do like to play pretty tall at times, especially down there at GMHBABCDEF Stadium, whatever it's called. So, but it could be one well worth using a late round pick to pick up Zach Smith. Only the ruck this year, no forward status. Number 14 is Big Boy McAvoy. We saw he went back to his scoring from when he was down at the Saints, going around the 100 average mark. He can build a score with his contested marking, which is great for Supercoach, as well as kicking goals, which he does. He kicked about 12 or 13 goals in 2017. I do hope they don't play Segler and just leave him as a sole ruckman because it looked like Hawthorn were a better team for it. And as Steve said, if they do go tall in their forward and defence, then it's going to be hard to play the two ruckmen as well. And my last ruckman is Billy Longer. As I said, the Spies were out and about, and he's doing the extra work. He was battling Tom Hickey for that sole ruckman. Hickey went down and played himself into bad form, and Longer took over and actually scored quite well in the Supercoach format. As I said before, he did have an average of 1.5 kicks per game for the 2017 season. If he increases that, gets those possessions up to about 15, 16 a game, he can be a really strong force in the ruck department for St Kilda.
Yeah, John, I'm actually really with you with Billy Longer. People want to check the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Wrote an article, 5 late rucks you should be considering. Billy Longer's on there. Like any time this guy got double-digit disposals, he turned up in Supercoach, I think, 5 out of the 6 games. And we got to remember when Ruckman used to take some time to develop? Like Sandy actually didn't hit his straps until his 7th season. Well, this season coming up is going to be really long, his 7th season. He was a number 8 draft pick. Like, the guy had pedigree. So maybe it's just going to take him some time. He averaged the 3rd most hit outs in the AFL last year. I'm not bullish about it, but I'm just saying the potential is there as a late round pickup for Supercoach.
Yeah, like this year he increased his hit outs to 38 a game. He averaged 38 a game, 4 tackles a game. It was just the possessions that hurt him. He didn't even register average 10 possessions a game in 2017. So if he can get that up around the 15-16, you'd be looking around the 90-95 average mark for him.
No, but
and you're going to get great value on him.
But it wasn't even that, John. All he has to do is average around the 10 or 11 mark, and he's going to average you in the 90s in Supercoach.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I'm not excited about it. And, you know, Tom Hickey, you know, we've seen him just go full Tom Hickey. Like, he's out of the picture. I will say I'm a little bit more excited about Sandy than you are. I just see the hitouts are there. He's going to spend time forward. I think the midfield's okay. They don't really have a tall target. So if he can actually stay on the park, I think he's I've got him at rank 10th. I think he's going to be worth your time. Bell Chambers I had a little bit later. McAvoy got a little bit higher. But, I mean, we're talking about the same guys, just a few spots different. It's all about how you tier your rucks as to when you're going to be drafting.
And also personal preference of players too. I mean, one or two spots doesn't mean too much, but, you know, it's all about personal preference.
Don't draft him, Aaron Sandilands. 35 years of age. It has been now 9 years... since he played a full season of football.
This is my thing.
15 games in the last 2 years, 35 years of age.
When he's on the park, he scores, and and no one else is going to waiver for Sean Darcy in your league, and then you just pick up a number 1 ruckman, so it doesn't matter. Unless you're in an 18-team league, then you might be in the shit. But who's playing in an 18-team league? Like, come on.
18-team 2 ruck league? How about that?
Well, you know, if I was in an 18-team league, you know, maybe I'd handcuff Sandilands with Darcy. Then there you go. How's that? How's that for an answer?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter by then enough. Because Max Gorn will be broken down and Cam Pedersen will be well on his way to being a number 1 ruck again anyway.
Yep. Fair enough.
We've got some questions. Thanks to the great people out there on Twitter and Facebook. We've got a lot of questions this week. Kicking it off with Dylan Hughes on the Twitter goes, what are your thoughts on cryptos? Now, when I first heard this question, I thought Carlton have gotten a Category B rookie from Greece here and actually had to look him up. But I'm thinking he's talking about the cryptocurrency, is he, Steve?
I would assume so. The kids are into the cryptos, is what I've learnt.
I have no idea what it is.
I'm looking at it. I actually thought, you know, since we've got the money mogul over there, but then I remembered he's a bricks and mortar guy. He isn't going to be into this.
He needs physicality. He doesn't know what technology is.
No idea.
I'm going to say this about cryptocurrencies. Like, if you've got some investment money laying around, which I don't because I'm broke, because I'm a greenkeeper and I have no money, then, you know, hit it. It seems like a winner. But I will say this. I remember the dot-com bubble, which seemed like it would go on forever. And, you know, people lost their ass. So if you've got some spare money, then maybe get in. But if you're, you know, borrowing to get in, then that seems probably like a bad idea.
Now, someone tried to explain it to me on Saturday night and... It was just
I don't get it. I don't understand it either. It seemed, you know, but something has to, you know. This is the thing, man. Like, remember that, you know, the Illuminati control the banks, and you know, something has to bring this schmozzle down. I'm just saying, I'm a big what are those things? What was that Mel Gibson movie? You know,
Patriot.
No, Patriot. You know the Simpsons did the episode on it.
Oh, stone cutter, whatever it is.
Templars. No, not the stone cutters. The
Stonecutters, the No Homers Club.
Yeah, the No Homers Club. Yeah, don't invest your money in a homer. Wait, that sounds that sounds like I'm anti-gay.
Yeah,
I'm not that. That's fine. No, the conspiracy theory. Don't. Yeah. I like the conspiracy theory. So,
Sandra Bullock about the
who?
Wasn't Sandra Bullock in that?
I don't know.
She was in The Net.
She was in The Net.
Yeah, a movie called The Net, like in 1995.
I don't remember anything else.
Awesome
she's
movie.
I just know she's.
Oh,
in
it was Gene Hackman and Mel Gibson was conspiracy.
Gene Hackman's great. I mean, Gene Hackman and Sandra Bullock look very similar.
Yeah, very similar.
Just, I couldn't.
Both whiny, angry
they
people.
You could have a photo next to each other. I don't know who's who. One was in The French Connection. One was in Miss Congeniality. It's the same person.
No, I'm sure she was in a movie with him when he was a rambling fool.
Mel Gibson or Gene Hackman?
Talking about conspiracy. No, Mel Gibson.
That isn't that just when
Didn't
he gets arrested?
Did you say it was a Mel Gibson movie?
Isn't that just when he gets arrested? He's a
rambling.
yes, that's right.
I remember Maverick.
Next question.
Yeah, that's right.
Next question is from David Swizz. He says, I'm currently in three single season cash leagues. One is 12, one is 16, and one is 18 teams.
My God, Dave. Says, Jesus, what are you doing?
He says, we find the 12 team season goes too short, while the 18 team leaves us too short of depth. What do you think the ideal setup for a single season and keeper league in regards to teams and players per side?
12-25.
Well, look this is the thing. The perfect setup is the one that works for your league.
Yes.
That's the bottom line.
That's right.
Like I like to think about it as between 200 players and 220 players rostered deep. Now, if you're in a bigger league, you might need to go a bit deeper than that. But, you know, if you're an 18-team league, you should obviously be shallower on field than the 12-team league. That just you want to keep the depth around the same, and I think around that 220 players deep is around that right mark.
I like the 300 players, 12 and 25.
That's great for a keeper league.
Yeah,
but
and that's what he's asking: what's good for a single setup and what's good for a keeper? So,
well, I think
you're 12, 25, and
I think around your 220 for a redraft, and I think anything between 270 and 300 for a keeper, but that's just me.
Keeper league. And he also says, what do you think of the current Supercoach site options for draft? He says he'd like to see a 25-player option added where the four bench spots are directly linked to each position, i.e. the position emergency, and add an extra three squad spots. So he's basically saying what the ultimate footy setup is there. Yeah, I don't mind it. If people want to play that, that's fine. But again, then you're going deeper, and Supercoach probably doesn't allow the scoring for the deeper squads. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Well, my thoughts are that especially when Dave's saying he's playing in 18 team leagues. Well, if you have to have a bench ruck, then you're talking 36 rucks deep. Well, who the hell's the 36th ruck? Like, to me, having an emergency
Sanderlands.
Yeah, that's his number. Oh, he comes in at number 34, am I wrong? No. my problem, I actually don't mind the Supercoach scoring where they just take one emergency and it's the highest. I think the allocated emergency is a little bit, unless you're playing in a keeper league, I think the allocated emergency is a little bit redundant.
Unfair.
I'd rather just play without it. But you know, it's up to your league. If you want to, I don't mind the concept. I'm not gonna bitch. I play both. Dunno, we play both ways. You know, we play with it in one league, and we play without it in the other league. You know, we're by position.
We're by fantasy.
I can't even say you're wearing this tank top with these noodles. Oh, that's not my fantasy, brother. Well, I remember when I
look at these 8-inch pythons.
I was actually listening to the Stone Cold podcast today, and that's exactly what Stone Cold looks like. you know, whatever, man. You know, it's whatever floats your boat. If you want that, if you want to put that to your league, just put it to your league. I don't think Supercoach are very inflexible in their setup. I will say that, and that's disappointing. We you know, John, our home league is in Supercoach, and it's one of our bugbears that it's so inflexible, and maybe they get the draft fixed out. I don't know, but it seems like other formats are fixing it up, their draft format. Like we know the boys over at AFL Fantasy are always trying to improve it, and Supercoach don't seem like they give a rat's toss bag, quite frankly.
No, and even when you do email them, just bombard them with emails if you do want to see the change, it's probably going to be the only way you will get those changes to the Supercoach format. Mm. Moving on, Heath Kingham on Twitter asks, what do you think the impact on Mitch Duncan's Supercoach scoring output will be? He thinks he's going to be going to more of the outside, but is one of the most effective kicks in that team. Will he increase, maintain, or decline in his scoring in the Supercoach format? I actually tend to agree with Heath there that he will be moved to the outside more. But if he is such an effective kicker, then they're going to use him as that launcher inside 50, hitting up the likes of Ablett, Dangerfield, and Hawkins, and getting those goal assists inside 50s, which are actually points in Supercoach. So where he will probably lose maybe 40 or 50 contested possessions from last year, it will balance out a little bit in Supercoach, but I don't see that 110 average for Duncan this year. It's more in that 100 to 105 range, I think. But that's where I'm seeing Mitch Duncan in the 2018 season.
Stoseman, do you have a take on that?
Yeah, I'm not convinced that there's going to be a lot of changes. I've still got the thought process that Gary Ablett will spend more time forward than he will in the midfield. So I probably don't see too much of a change from their second half. I think Menegola, Duncan, Joel Selwood would be the main three on-ballers. And I think you'll see Dangerfield and Ablett rotating through the midfield and up forward. It just maintains that you're going to have a very dangerous forward all the time up there, which is what they need to fix is their scoring power.
Yeah. I have a hard time buying into Mitch Duncan as an elite Supercoach option. Like someone mentioned, like you mentioned him being outside. He's already as outside as you can get. Like,
yep.
I said Duncan will slide from his 110 this year to about that 105 to 100 average.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that's where where he'll be. And you bring in Gary Ablett.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, I know you take out Donuts Motlop, so I mean, things are looking rosy because he was sucking up so many points, but
all 79.1 of them. Jesus. Another question. Jesus. He also asked, in the Supercoach format, who would you take out of Jake Lloyd or Jeremy Howe? For me, it's Jake Lloyd all the way. I can see him being a top five scorer this year. Howe, probably going to be capped for where he's at Collingwood. Lloyd, he's just going to get free reign and will be the general in that back line for many years to come, with no one really taking the points off him anymore. It used to be McVeigh, but Lloyd's taken over that role now, and it's all his, and probably going to average closer to the 100 mark, I would think, for 2018.
And I just have a policy that small linking midfielder defenders always score higher than key position forwards.
Yes, Jake Lloyd for me as well, quite easily as well, actually. I'm a bit of a Jeremy Howe drop-off candidate, to be honest.
TWR on Twitter asked, who gets his 10th and final spot in a keeper league? Is it Goddard, Toby McLeod, and he says Cade? And I'm assuming it's Cade Simpson, not Cade Collegiazny.
No, you wouldn't be considering Cade Simpson as your last one, would you? He's going to be a top six defender. It's got to be Cade Collegiazny.
If it's out of those three, I'm tossing up between Goddard and Toby McLean. But if it's Cade Simpson, it's Cade Simpson all the way. But I don't know what the rest of his team is. It's the 10th and final spot, so how big is their team? and whatnot. Who's he kept in beforehand? Like, if he's got those three as his last three to keep, it's a pretty decent team.
If it's it doesn't matter to me, I'm going the Cade double whammy, because if it's Cade, Kolodziejczyk and a keeper, you keep a for a long term top 10 defender, keep him. And if it's Cade Simpson, he's probably the one that's going to be top 3 to 6 defender for this year, so keep him. So I'm the double Cade.
And our last question of the day is from AFL Fantasy 18. Our thoughts on Jack Redden now that Matty Prittis and Sam Mitchell have retired. We have spoken about this on the show, and we are all in agreement he's going to be a top pick this year, and you're probably going to get some great value on him. Where you're going to get him, you're going to get him in those middle to late rounds, and he will return that draft value for you.
The only way is up, baby.
Is that a song?
Yep.
Because I was thinking
why I added the baby.
Because I was thinking Boom Shake the Room. Because we all like Jack Redden, but it's all about the value. Because if he starts rising in the drafts, which you can see on the ADP on our mock draft website, you know, you'll find out where to draft Jack Redden. Because if he gets too rich, then he gets too rich.
There you go. And as always, we finish off the show with our top five lists. This week it is top five Aussie movies, and both Staceman and Steve jokingly couldn't come up with one, so it's going to be very short lists for both of them. But I'm going to kick off the list this week. Coming in at number five for me, it's an independent movie that came out a couple of years ago. Guys, I'm very big on my zombie genre.
Oh, God.
This was an Aussie zombie movie. Now, you think about the Australian sense of humour.
Does this have Greg Fleet in it?
I can't remember. I have to watch it again. But it was a good movie. A lot of Aussie humour. Like, one of the guys gets bitten by a zombie, asks for the first aid kit to be given to him, opens it up. There's a couple of stubbies in there, just starts drinking them to wash away the pain, that sort of stuff. So Wormwood, very good. Well, you got to watch it in the context of it. Wormwood was a very good movie. Crackerjack coming in at number four for me. Mick Molloy's finest film, you would think. As a former lawn bowler, and Steve as a lawn bowler, it should be on our list. I think there was many of a night get home from lawn bowls, have a few beers and put that on and run myself a Radox bath. Number three was Chopper. Love that movie. Great film with, what's his name, Eric Banner playing Mark Chopper Reed. A lot of humour in that. Great movie as well. Number two, it's just an Aussie icon film, and that's Mad Max, the last of the V8s. You got all the Taranas and the XB Falcons driving around all hiding up. Great movie set in post-apocalyptic Williamstown. I've grown up on that movie. I love it. And if you guys don't have this movie as your number one, then you're not Australian. That's The Castle, or The Castle, depending on where you're from. Great Australian movie about the underdog taking on the big dogs. And sadly, that house in real life actually got shifted to Sydney because Sydney needed another tourist attraction. It's now going to be a tourist attraction up in Sydney. That's my top five Aussie movies. Steve, what have you got for us?
Well, actually, just to add on to your little story, the castle, the Bonnie Doon house, is now up on Airbnb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's during awesome. The week. But I don't have it number one because I'm an Australian. Number five, Jono, you've left off the magnificence that is Crocodile Dundee, you un-Australian prick. Not sure what...
Yeah, too easy, too low-hanging fruit.
Low-hanging fruit, whatever.
It's an icon.
But it's very funny. So that is number five. Number four, I've got The Magician, a fantastic mockumentary shot on the main streets of Melbourne, the work of Scott Ryan, who has done absolutely nothing since, but The Magician has recently been... commissioned into a six-part TV series for FX or something, I don't know. But it's coming back, and I can't believe the guy did nothing because the movie is absolutely fantastic. One of the best mockumentaries I've ever seen. Very funny. Number three, I've got The Hunter, starring Willem Dafoe. As you gentlemen know, I'm a big fan of the thylacine and all things thylacine. It's shot in Tasmania. It's a beautiful film. It's a bit of a tearjerker. I cried, whatever. It's a great movie nonetheless. Number two, I've got The Castle, because it's pretty tits. And number one, I've got Mary and Max. Mary and Max is one of my favorite movies. And quite frankly, I should have had it on the movies that made you cry deal. But it is a brilliant movie. Very dark comedy. It deals with a lot of depression issues, which the listeners may not know. I've dealt with a lot of depression in my time, a lot of anxiety, social anxiety I've been diagnosed with, and it really hit home with me. And I think it's a beautiful movie, and also love animation, so I very much appreciated it on that level.
Thanks for that. We couldn't actually hear a word you're saying, so I'm sure the listeners thought it was a great list, but great list, well done.
Well, I fucking hope it recorded on my end.
Statesman, what have you got there for your top five?
All right, gentlemen. A few honourable mentions first, and well-deserving ones. Although there is one that I want to give an honourable mention to, but I can't remember the name of the film. Mick Beloy and Bob Franklin were policemen.
The Crack with Jim Owen?
No. Mick Beloy and Bob Franklin were the main two characters as policemen, trying to deal with crooked politicians, and chief of police had Sean McAuliffe as the politician.
Bad Eggs, isn't it?
So Bad Eggs deserves a bit of a rap. That was an absolute rip of that film. So the honourable mentions are The Dish, The Club, Crocodile Dundee, and two for the slightly more mature people, Gallipoli.
Oh, that's horrible.
And also Dead Calm, which introduced us to...
That's shit.
Nicole Kidman.
How could you write Dead Calm?
But... No, they well deserved.
No. Billy Zane.
Some freaky independent zombie movie.
It's all Billy Zane.
But they were fantastic movies, and the reason why quite a few of those actors actually got Hollywood careers. So that is fine that you guys misinterpret them. But let's go to the top five. So number five also started a career. And that was Romper Stomper.
Good movie.
Fantastic movie.
No, I just came up with another Aussie movie. That was good.
Fantastic. You've had your list, mate. It was sort of cutting edge and sort of showed the underbelly of what actually happens in those types of communities. The next one, which also started a Hollywood career, was Chopper. Eric Bana was absolutely fantastic in that movie. It had a bit of humour, some fantastic quotes in that one as well, but it started a career, and when you've got the man himself patting him on the back, you know he's done a good job. One I was surprised that you guys didn't mention more of a recent film is Animal Kingdom, which got Jackie Weaver an Oscar nomination and one of the most critically acclaimed movies that Australia's ever produced.
Didn't like it.
Number two, which I feel uncomfortable watching sometimes, so it's probably why I like it so much, but I've always been a Tarantino fan, and he raved over this movie, and that's Wolf Creek. Absolutely think that's fantastic and quite suspenseful. But number one, quite easily, I put their second movie in the honourable mention being The Dish. It has to be The Castle. It's iconic, fantastic Australian film. I don't like any of the Mad Maxes and never had any interest in them. So sorry, boys, The Castle, so easy number one for me.
if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman 33. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram where we are at The Draft Doctors, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But do stay tuned. We do have our mock draft website dropping very soon, and we're going to be giving you more details as they come to hand. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.